You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And it is time for the other portion of our Medical Monday, and that features Dr. Eric Grigsby, if I can manage to say words correctly, with the Your Health program brought to you by Neurovations, a patient care and innovations company providing the best care for every patient every day. Dr. Grigsby, welcome back in.
Hey, Barry, good morning. Hope you had a good weekend.
It was just fine. We were talking off the air. You said you put your garden in, so you may have some of that back pain we were talking about last week.
Well, I hope so. I had a lot of help, though. I have to say my daughter and boyfriend were in town, so I had a lot of, I was going to say free labor, but truth is I have a pretty big investment in that labor.
And so today we're going to talk about something different from the pain management world and the area of cancer pain. You and I have both lived through the era where cancer is no longer as feared as it once was because so many people have good outcomes comparatively. But having pain as a result of the disease or maybe from treatment is an issue, right? Let's talk about that. Where do we begin?
Well, it's really true. Maybe I could begin just with a little history. I think when you get to be my stage in career, a lot of what you offer is perspective and history, to be honest. But in the early days of the entire field of pain management, the cancer pain treatment is what started it. And believe it or not, sort of surprising or shocking in some ways, but there was a time not too long ago when it was felt that getting addicted to pain medicine, so-called in quotes, addicted in quotes, was the worst thing that could happen at the end of life when you have cancer. In other words, it was thought to be even worse than the cancer itself was the idea that you could be addicted to pain medicines. And this was a truth back in the 60s and even in the 70s. And then in the mid and late 80s, when many of us started this field of pain management, we thought, well, that's just completely ridiculous. There's no way that you should let a person suffer at the end of life for fear that there's some, you know, theoretical problem with addiction. It just seemed completely ridiculous. And that was actually the sort of the origin, really, of the entire field of pain management.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, that was a stigma. Somehow it was a moral failure if you couldn't suffer appropriately, you know?
Well, it was true with childbirth. You may remember a couple of hundred years ago, but before the first, I believe Queen Elizabeth decided that pain relief at the time of childbirth was okay, since she was the one bearing children. And then all of a sudden, it became not just a martyrdom, but it became really reasonable to expect comfort in some really difficult parts of life from a pain and discomfort point of view. And so cancer went through that same sort of revolution in the 80s and early 90s when it just became really, really smart to look after people as human beings at the end of life. And certainly today, it's as you said, it's a lot different. We have so many more good options for cancer treatment, less surgery, and more effective chemotherapy agents and radiation oncology, very progressive. So it's not such a not as big a problem, but still can be troublesome. And I thought we'd talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get into it. I think the first question would have to be what's the most typical or common kind of cancer pain, and resulting from what kind of cancers, I guess.
Well, as you point out, the pain from cancer is both from the cancer itself, and then sometimes from the treatment. The cancer itself and the type of pain that person has just depends on the location of the cancer. For example, a patient with multiple myeloma, which is sort of a bone marrow cancer, if you will, those patients, pretty often have sort of diffuse, deep kind of aching pain in the bones that are affected by the condition. And that pain is, treated pretty well. First of all, we're just reducing the problem of myeloma with chemotherapy, but also with oral and transdermal, patches of potent pain medicines. Some people have heard of what's called a fentanyl patch, and it's the same drug that you read about as a real problem in the substance use challenge we have in society, but this has been around for a long time. It's very effective medicine given by patch for certain kinds of pain, like myeloma and other, you know, places where bone is involved with cancer.
So that's a one particular type. Multiple myeloma, not maybe the most common situation. Mm-hmm. What other kinds of cancer pain do people suffer with?
Well, one other challenge, of course, is with surgery. Surgery is often used for the treatment of cancer, and depending on where it is and what the cancer is close to. If it's close to nerves, then the patient can struggle with nerve pain. If it's close to a certain organ, can suffer from pain from that organ. And again, sometimes getting access to the tumor. For example, if we have a lung cancer, you have to get at the tumor through the ribs. You have to kind of separate the ribs and the thoracic cavity to get to the tumor to take the lung cancer out. And that turns out to be a pretty painful post-operative course, although you have to do it, well worth it, obviously, to get to the tumor, but can be painful. So those of us in the pain world, are pretty good at helping that kind of post-operative pain. And to the degree that we can get involved with the surgeon ahead of time, that's kind of the best case where we can talk and plan and help understand how the patient will do after surgery.
Hmm. That's interesting. Tell us more about how that works with consulting with the surgeon. What can you learn from that?
Well, we just understand, first of all, what the approach is. In other words, where are you going to be operating? And sometimes anesthetic techniques, actually, I'm an anesthesiologist by training and then subspecialized in the pain field. So sometimes anesthetic techniques can improve post-operative pain. For example, patients can have an epidural injection of local anesthetic as part of their anesthetic for the surgery. And there's some good evidence that in some cases that sort of regional anesthesia, in addition to in addition to going to sleep, can reduce the amount of post-operative pain that a patient has after surgery. So there's a help that can be given to cancer pain, both from the pain specialist afterwards, but also just in coordinating with your anesthesiologist and your surgeon and say, what kind of anesthesia am I going to have? What's the best anesthesia recommended for this kind of surgery?
Hmm. Interesting. It's a lot to learn, a lot to know. So it sounds like it's more common, correct me if I'm wrong, but more common that you're treating pain resulting from procedures rather than resulting from the cancer itself.
Yeah, I've probably given you that impression, but I don't believe that's exactly true. I mean, okay. We have good and careful surgeons now. And anesthesiologists are quite well trained at this, what I just described. Sometimes the coordination of that care is a hard part. You know, everybody's busy. And I think when you get a diagnosis like cancer, it's a really quick exercise in educating yourself and your family, help educating them on what are the options. And it's a whole new world for a lot of people to become immersed in all of a sudden medical terminology and coordinating with people that you don't know and physicians that you've never heard of and so on to try to get the resources to help. And I guess it's one reason to, I talk to a lot of folks about this. I get my stage of the game, I guess they're asking for advice on things. And this is a little bit of a tangent, but here's some good advice for everyone who's listening. You know, a lot of folks have a lawyer that they know pretty well and they keep a relationship with. A lot of folks have a bookkeeper or an accountant that they have a pretty close relationship with to make sure their stock's doing okay and make sure their tax situation is okay, make sure their money's in good shape. But honestly, relatively few people keep up a good relationship with their physician. And don't know exactly why, lots of reasons. Maybe we don't want to think about the fact that we might be sick, but really, really good to have a good and ongoing relationship with a good physician who can connect you with the resources that you need if you ever need it. It's like having a good accountant in case you ever have an audit, or having a good, attorney or whoever, if you have something to do. But most people don't plan ahead far enough and keep and develop a good relationship with the physician just in case you might need them if you have a problem.
Hmm. It's an interesting observation. So when you get into treating the cancer patient who has pain, what kind of techniques are successful for you?
Well, the type of patients we see, of course, are in a pain management practice are pretty advanced. You would say they have, you know, more trouble than simple measures are able to help. But obviously, the first thing to do is just the same as non-cancer pain. Try to get a little exercise, use simple things like heat and cold, oral medicines, and you know, conservative measures in all of those areas. But most of the time, again, by the time I see them, their pain is a little bit more difficult. So the things that we can do in the sort of the two big categories are one is there are a number of sort of nerve deadening procedures that we can do. So you imagine that, you know, if you have pain in your chest, for example, say you have pain in the chest, right in the middle of your chest on the side, that area, there are certain nerves that go to that area that we can put medication on or actually freeze or give a little bit of energy to, so those nerves don't work for a while. So it makes the area of the pain numb, right? So this sort of nerve deadening procedure. Mm-hmm. And so that's very pretty technically challenging. Not, you know, it's really for the in the realm of the pain specialist, but it can be done really effectively. And one classic and very helpful technique in that area is for patients who have pancreatic cancer, which is a really difficult problem and with a, unfortunately, a very short life expectancy, generally speaking, after we get it, because we just don't have the right therapy, but it can be pretty painful. And so, but there's an easy way, relatively easy way to deaden the nerves to the pancreas. So it takes away that sort of miserable abdominal pain. Mm. So that nerve deadening is one really valuable set of techniques.
Yeah. Do you use that a lot? Does that come in handy for other kinds of orthopedic problems and whatnot?
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about nerve deadening is it does come in handy. We have a number of techniques that are just coming around to treat knee pain and osteoarthritis of the shoulder with sort of nerve deadening techniques, temporary nerve deadening techniques. So it is kind of making its way, like the whole field has made its way sort of from what we do for cancer to usefulness of those techniques in non-cancer pain. But so the answer is yes. But the second big thing we have to offer in the pain world that's very, very unique, no other specialty kind of specialist can offer this, is the idea of delivering medicines directly into the spine to treat pain. And that's a very, it's been around for a long time, but a very dynamically changing and improving area these days.
Mm-hmm. That, again, is addressing the nervous system.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, so the way that works, just for our listeners, this is kind of a hard conversation on the morning drive this morning, but I still think it's important for everybody to know that these options are, yeah,
we talk
are
about,
out there.
We talk about a lot of challenging things in the morning.
Yeah, well, it turns out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But so the idea of being able to deliver medicines, liquid medicine, into the area around the spinal cord has been around a long time, but it involves a very sophisticated implanted pump device, right? So this little device is placed in the patient's body, like under the skin of their abdomen. And then there's a little tube that goes around under the skin into the spine, tiny little tube, about a couple of millimeters across. And it continuously delivers, you know, really powerful pain medicine into the spine. And it distributes itself all up and down the spine. And it helps pain all the way from the top of your neck all the way down to your toes, depending on where that pain is. It's very powerful. And there's a way for the patient to actually help dose themselves with a little remote control gadget, obviously within pretty tight boundaries, but they can give themselves doses. It's incredibly sophisticated and really powerful.
It's amazing what technology allows these days. I've come a long way from maybe you should just suffer to show you're a good person. You
know? Well, it's the truth. I think martyrdom is not so popular these days.
What's a good resource? You know, people these days have all the information of the world available at their fingertips. You want to understand more about something like cancer pain. Where would you send people to do some of that homework?
So I'm going to give a little shout out to Mayo Clinic. You know, I trained at Mayo and I'm still active with the Mayo Clinic in Rochester in Minnesota. And in fact, I'm going out there tomorrow to give a couple of lectures. But Mayo Clinic, I think it's mayo.org, mayo.org. And they have a tremendous amount of patient-oriented information about all kinds of medical troubles, including cancer pain and pain in general. And honestly, that information is so good that we send patients in our practice all the time to those resources rather than try to create our own, because it's just so well done. So go to Mayo Clinic, Mayo Clinic, mayo.edu, mayo.org, and you'll find your way to the Mayo patient resources. And it's really, really high quality and good information.
Very good. We all need to use the internet wisely and well, and that sounds like an awfully good use of it right there. And if you mistype, you know, you'll end up on some kind of mayonnaise website. You don't want that.
Make sure old joke. Yeah, exactly right, for sure. You end up in the condiment section.
Dr. Eric Grigsby with our Your Health program. You got a closing message on this topic of cancer pain?
Well, I would just say, with respect to cancer and all of the difficult pain conditions, you have to be an advocate for yourself. So don't feel as though you have to suffer. And so ask, you know, make sure and ask your primary care physician, your oncologist, and those involved in the treatment of your pain. What can be done if you're hurt? What can we do ahead of time? And then if you find a place where you're having more pain than you think is reasonable, then just know that there are resources out there and find your way to them.
Mm-hmm. And since we're giving out website addresses, what's the one for your pain management practice?
Well, thanks for asking. It's NapaPainInstitute.com. I've been here since 1989, and we've taken care of many hundreds of patients with cancer and non-cancer pain over the years. And we'd be delighted to see our folks, our local folks, if they're having trouble.
All right, excellent. Safe travels as you head for the clinic, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Barry. Have a great day. It's nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you bet.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.